attentively to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please sit down. Thanks, guys. There's a saying that goes something like, you should never work with animals and children, but I think the expression needs expanding a bit to say, but with your church youth group, you're on solid ground. It can only go one way from here, can't it? So that's downhill. Anyway, let's not focus on that. Guys, thanks for all that you've given us already, and it helps us to have our heart and mind focused on God, doesn't it? Focused on our salvation in Jesus Christ, and that's what we'll carry on with. Karis is going to read to us from the Bible in a little bit, but let me just get into the sermon a bit first of all. If I were to explain to you now that this next bit of the service, I'm going to be focused on the theological doctrine of soteriology and eschatology, what would you do? Where would we start? Yeah, okay. Wait, there's more. Or, you know, if I added to that and I said, actually, what I'm going to preach about is a realized eschatology that's dependent on a theology of soteriology, you'd probably, even more of you would leave at that point, wouldn't you? I can clear the room, though, because if I said to you that I wanted one of you to come up here and explain to everybody else how you live your life with a fully realized eschatology as a pre-millennial dispensationalist, how would you respond? Now, college lecturers are not allowed to be invited up. That's cheating. Okay, you'd want to come and speak. Yeah, you're not. But most of you would be off and out the door, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking, you've got to be having a laugh. I'm not going to sit around waiting to try and understand all of that stuff. I'm off. Don't correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. College Lecturer, please. But basically, in summary, those big words that I was just talking about were about our need for salvation through Christ alone, and about living differently because of it, and understanding what the Bible says about end times. That's more or less what those big words were about. But listen, there's no point, is there, in me wasting your time this morning. There is no point in us trying to focus on God's word now in a way that doesn't make sense, that we can't connect with, that makes no difference to our lives whatsoever. So I'm hopefully not going to do that to you. Not waste your time, that is. You know, as a church, we want to be doing nothing else than offering the transforming love of Jesus Christ to all people in the realities of life. That's our purpose of being church together. That's what we're focused on in everything that we are, everything that we're doing. We've been thinking recently about our ways of belonging, and through our ways of belonging, how we want to show our care and our hospitality and our generosity and our graciousness to people who come through the door or who we interact with in our lives during the week. We want to be doing all of those things fully, because as we do, then we'll be serving God. We're going to be talking next month primarily about the word serving that you've got up on the screen. At the moment, this month, we're fixed on the word growing. Seems to me that unless we are willing to grow in our faith and learn more about the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, then the serving bit is going to be all the harder. So this month, it's about growing. We're going to think, Michael's already said this morning, about living like a disciple. So when you hear that phrase, when you hear somebody say, oh, we as Christians, we need to be living like disciples, I wonder what goes through your mind. Maybe it looks something like this next image that's coming up. All you can think about is a bunch of people wandering around following one guy who was out all the front, at the front all the time, wearing long clothes like that. That's not what we want to think about. That's relevant, don't get me wrong, okay, because I've just kind of dissed the picture of Jesus with his disciples, but just don't hear me wrong. If we were to copy that today in Bromsgrove High Street, we'd probably look like a complete bunch of absolute nutters, wouldn't we, to the rest of the community around us. It would have a transforming effect, but it wouldn't be a positive one. We want our lives as disciples to be about transforming in positive ways. So listen to this. Hopefully this YouTube clip's going to play. Listen to this YouTube clip, because this guy here in a particular sermon tries to explain to us what the word disciple means. So have a listen to this. or the PC going ping.
So what is discipleship? You know, it's an interesting thing. Someone brought this to my attention recently. If you type the word discipleship in the Google search engine, the number one site that comes up is us, Harvest. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. Because, you know, you can't buy something like that. I thought, I don't know how that happened exactly, but I went and looked at our site, and we have one of our pages on our website that breaks discipleship down very understandably. And so I thought that was a great thing, that people could see it. Explain, because I think sometimes people mystify discipleship, and I want to break it down so we can understand it, demystify it, if you will. Discipleship, listen, is simply living the Christian life as it was meant to be lived. Simply living the Christian life as it was meant to be lived. New Testament discipleship is really living like a believer. The believers that changed the world, the believers of the first century, they were disciples. They got it. They understood it. If we want to be a disciple, we need to be as much like them as we possibly can. But some don't want to do that. And that's why I call this series Discipleship, the Road Less Taken. You see, some people want to avoid any kind of hardship or difficulty. They want to take the path of least resistance instead of discipleship road. But discipleship road, if you will, is challenging, yes, but fulfilling. It's hard, but it's more than worth it because it's the road to the Christian life as it was meant to be lived. In fact, it's the very road to life. In fact, anything short of this is disobedience to what God wants us to do.
Since that guy preached that sermon, that thing he was so proud of at the beginning, that if you do a Google search on the word discipleship, that his church comes up top of the list, that's changed. It's only number 3 now. That's not really relevant. I thought it was quite funny because I checked it out. But he was so proud of that, wasn't he? But that's not the important thing about what we've just heard. The important thing is this, these words that he said. Discipleship is living the Christian life how it's meant to be lived. Hold on to those words. Living the Christian life as it's meant to be lived. A disciple is someone who looks at the example of Jesus and lets it make a positive difference to their life as they follow him and as they do their best to be like him. That's the important thing from that video clip that we need to hold on to. Karis is going to come and read from Galatians chapter 5 to us now. And here's a passage. Come, here's a passage that helps us understand a bit more about what it means to be living like a disciple. So follow in your Bibles or on your phone or whatever you use. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.
So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us not keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thanks, Karis. You know, that's just one of many places we can go to in our Bibles that help us to understand more about what it means to be living as a disciple. With the power of to transform lives when we choose to belong to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit fill our lives. that choice that we've got to make is something that we'll pick up on as we go along. But first of all, let's think about what it means to be a transformed disciple. What we have in our Bibles here as the book of Galatians is a letter to a church who had kind of got themselves a bit mixed up, a bit sidetracked in their thinking from what they knew to be the truths about God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter, wasn't very impressed about that. And so at the start of chapter 3 in Galatians, he says something like this: "You crazy people, what are you doing? What's gone wrong with you? Have you lost your mind?" I thought I might try that with you one day and see what kind of response it gets. Do you know, it's not the friendliest way to approach something that you want, a point that you want to get across to people, is it? And Paul is so concerned that these people grow in their understanding of what it means to be living as a disciple. He has to get their full attention one way or another. By the time we get to the beginning of chapter 5, Paul there is totally and utterly focused on Jesus. He begins there by saying something like this: "Jesus has done everything that you need for him to have done for you to be able to live freely in his name. Don't let anyone tell you differently or tie you down or hold you back by making out that you need to live in any other way to fully be a disciple of Jesus." So what does that need to look like? How are we meant to respond? Well, here in verse 16, Paul says, "Live by the Spirit." He's talking there about living, having been filled by God's Holy Spirit, and filled with the goodness, the full goodness of everything that God wants to fill our lives with, that transforms us away from the kinds of things that Paul goes on to talk about in the rest of those opening verses. You know, most of the things that he mentions there are about being selfish, about pleasing ourselves rather than thinking about other people. It doesn't take much, really, does it, to work out that when we live our lives in those ways, it doesn't really help to bring about that transforming effect into all the goodness of God that he has there for us, does it? God's power in our lives, though, is enough to transform us away from all of those bad things, like the rotten bananas, so that we can be good bananas. That's a good illustration to use, isn't it? God's power through the Holy Spirit is more than enough to transform us into all that he wants us to be. But you know, we have to choose to let that happen. God won't force it on us. He's given us the freedom to choose to be disciples. We have to choose to let it happen in the first place, but we have to go on choosing to let it happen. It's not just something that we choose to do and then kind of don't make any effort with. Our choice of living like a disciple is a day-to-day choice that we need to make. The thing is, with the Galatians, what's happened there is that they've chosen to be followers of Jesus. But then gradually, for whatever reason, maybe for all kinds of outside influences, they've let other thoughts, other ways of being, other ideas creep into their lives and slowly edge out all that Paul had taught them previously and others had taught them about living like disciples. They'd chosen to follow Jesus, but they'd also then, as time went on, chosen to let that slip and become less and less important to them. And it's easy for that to happen, isn't it? If I said to you, well, put your hand up if that's never happened in your life, that it's never been a case that you've chosen to follow Jesus and then everything's been perfect and you've never put a foot wrong and you've always been, you know, completely on track with Jesus and his ways. If I were to ask you to put your hand up and anybody dared, I'd be seeing you afterwards, because that's not real, is it? That's not how life works. We are bombarded with so many different influences and other ideas. It's easy to live like disciples when we're here together on a Sunday morning. But when we go out the door and we go back out into what I'm going to describe as the real world, you know what I mean by that. It's not like here isn't real, but we go back into our normal everyday lives and routines and places that we go. then we're bombarded, aren't we, with all kinds of other stuff that goes on. What will it be like for us tomorrow morning when we're at school or when we're at work or home or whatever it is that we're doing? Will it be as easy then to be living out the fullness of God through Jesus, unaffected by the world around us? Well, no, of course it won't, will it? We're all affected by so many different thoughts and ideas and suggestions that might look exciting, that might look appealing, that might look attractive, but actually when we get into them, we realize that maybe wasn't so good after all. You know, for all of our young people here who've been up on stage this morning, the pressures that they live with are huge. It's easy for us, those who are slightly older, to say, well, it was just the same when we were their age. I don't believe it was. The pressures that our young people live under today are huge. But guys, listen. Do all that you can to help each other to be followers of Jesus. You're not doing it alone. You're there for each other. You're helping each other. You can strengthen and guide and correct and encourage all of those things, each other, to be like disciples of Jesus. You have to make that choice, though, in your own lives. You have to choose to let that happen. And, you know, it's the same for the rest of us as well, isn't it? We're here together as the body of Christ, this thing that we call church, and we're here to help each other to live like disciples of Jesus. And we need to make that choice to let Jesus transform our lives in the first place and to let that carry on day by day. We can help each other with that. That's why God calls us together to be church rather than living our Christian lives in isolation. It's only when we let the power of Jesus transform us that we can live as disciples in ways that show the power of Jesus to other people. Michael was talking earlier on about how part of our being a disciple is sharing Jesus with other people. We need to be transformed ourselves first by Jesus so that we can be transforming disciples, so that we can spread the word of God in the way that he needs. And the only way that we can do that is to be spirit-filled disciples. This next image that's coming up on the screen, you can probably just about make out some of the words. It's the fruits of the Spirit, if you can't see all of the words. There's a line on there that I really like, and that's why I put this up here. Living the fruit of the Spirit, living well in today's world, living well in today's world. We all live in today's world. How many of us would honestly say that we're always living well, that nothing is dragging us down or winding us up or annoying us or whatever else is going on? Living well as disciples in today's world. When we pay full attention to the fruits of the Spirit and when we let those things define our lives, then that's when the power of the Holy Spirit brings about transformation in us, helps us to live well in today's world. Just think about that for a moment. Just think about the transforming difference that each of these words can make in our lives and the lives of other people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. You know, love, given and received properly, love fills us with joy. And when we feel loved, we know peace in our hearts, don't we? And when we know love and joy and peace, it makes a big difference to us. It makes a positive difference to us. It moves us on to the next things: patience, kindness and goodness. They're more about our relationship with each other and other people around us. When we feel secure, when we feel love, that love, joy and peace in our own lives because of our relationship with God, then it's easier for us to feel more able to be focused on other people in the ways that we need to be, isn't it? With patience, kindness and goodness. And then the last three words that are there: faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That focus is more about us again, us making those choices to be people of faith and faithful to others, to show our gentleness, to maintain our self-control. You know, it's all here coming together in the name of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, so that we can be, that image is gone now, so that we can be doing that, living life well. It's there in the consistency of how we live as disciples of Jesus. It's there in how we think about ourselves, especially at times when we need to be more gentle with ourselves. Maybe when we've done something wrong and we're feeling down about ourselves. And we need it there as well when we need to know self-control, so that our lives will reflect that the power of Jesus has transformed us. Now, be honest with me for a moment. Which of those do you find easy and which do you find hard? Just think about that for yourselves. Which of those fruits of the Spirit, which of those things that are up on the screen now, do you find easy and which do you find hard? You know, maybe accepting the love and joy and peace from the Father heart of God, that's the bit that's the hardest for us, because the experience of relationships in our lives kind of gets in the way and gives us the wrong impression of what that's like. So rather than embracing life like a disciple, we're more inclined to go after the other things that Paul mentioned earlier on in the passage. Maybe that's because we've been sucked into a way of thinking that other people have put there. That we are told that these other ways, that's how you'll know lasting joy and love and peace, by fitting in with the ways of the world around us. That might work for a while, but then we need to move on to someone new or something else, because we realize that actually that hasn't worked. The only place that we then, that actually find the fullness of love, joy and peace is through Jesus. And what about patience, kindness and goodness? If we're surrounded by people in our lives, in our relationships, where we have a lack of patience when we need time and encouragement, or we lack being treated with kindness and goodness, then, you know, we're going to find it hard to live like that ourselves, aren't we? We're going to find it hard to reflect those things in our lives that we've not experienced for ourselves. Yet all of those things are there. All of those things can be ours as followers of Jesus. And you know, then there's the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control. How are you doing with those ones? How are you doing with living a life of faithfulness, gentleness and self-control? How much do we beat ourselves up when we don't feel perfect enough? What about when you make a mistake? How gentle are you with your own responses? And what about feeling like you've not kept in control of your own thoughts or actions? Whatever else, what do we do then? You know, it's easy to live being consistently down on ourselves and have that I'm not good enough or I don't deserve it outlook on life. But we don't need to live like that. The Holy Spirit is power enough, more than enough, to transform our lives, to transform our hearts and minds, to be disciples of Jesus, to be like him. In our thinking and in the way that we live. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's the promise he makes to us, that he will come into our lives and transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we really can be a transformed disciple and live as Spirit-filled disciples. Do you know, it seems to me so many times when I'm preparing a sermon that I want to say something like this. It's really easy, isn't it, for me to stand here and say all this stuff to you. But, you know, I said earlier on, I know that as soon as we go out of the building and get on in our lives, surrounded by all those pressures and demands, it might not take very long for our thoughts to drift away from things like the fruit of the Spirit, the fullness of Jesus in our lives, onto other stuff. And in that YouTube clip we listened to earlier, the guy preaching said, the discipleship road is challenging, but fulfilling. It's hard work, but it's more than worth it. Because it's the road of the Christian life as it's meant to be lived. And I want to add to that the reminder that the discipleship road isn't one that we journey on our own. We're disciples of Jesus individually, yes. And then we bring all of that together as church, longing to learn and grow together as Jesus through Jesus. We have so many opportunities of doing that. We do that together on a Sunday morning. We can do that in small groups over coffee or just having a chat with each other anytime. We can do that in our life groups. If you're not plugged into a life group yet, then speak to me, because we want to have everybody connected with life groups in a way that brings about that sense of encouragement and journeying through life. But we have to make that choice, don't we? First of all, for ourselves. Let it all be happening in your life. Give your life to Jesus so that you can live like a disciple. Be a transformed, spirit-filled disciple and live in a way that shows that to other people. Don't store that up for yourself. The Bible doesn't say to encourage us to keep that in, does it? And say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to tell you. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. The Bible encourages us to live our lives openly and transparently as disciples of Jesus, so that others can see and notice and come close to us and ask questions and be transformed by Jesus as well. So, Lord, as we bring our focus on this passage to a close, then, Lord, we want to do two things together before we share communion. First of all, Lord, is to pause and pray and then make our own responses as we're doing that. Lord, help us to be living like disciples, your disciples. Lord, we long to be filled more and more with the fruit of your Spirit so that our lives will be transformed by you and totally shaped by love and joy and peace, filled with patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Lord, transform us through our faith in you, so that everyone around us will see that reflected so naturally and so readily in ways that make sense. Lord, we want that so much. For our lives to be transformed by you, Jesus, so that you will use us to serve you, to transform the lives of other people in your name. It won't be about people responding to how amazing we are, but it will be about people finding freedom in their lives in your name, Jesus. Transforming them away from all the things that drag them down. So Jesus, transform our lives and then send us to people who need to know your love and your joy and peace. Let our patience and our kindness and goodness be real and obvious. Then help those we go to in your name, let faithfulness and gentleness and self-control change their lives forever. In your name we ask these things.